So have you ever started a new job? I know you have. It's kind of scary, isn't it, sometimes to start a new job? There's something about a new job that when I started at the county, I worked at the county for many years, I didn't really even understand all the benefits that I had through the county, right? Jobs, they come, a lot of times they come with benefits. Sometimes we don't know what they are. Sometimes we take them for granted. But some of the things that, the benefits that we get are, we get medical and dental possibly. We get a retirement plan, maybe a 401k or a pension. We get paid holiday, paid vacation, hopefully. Some people do, some don't. Sometimes you get a vehicle. Like I know at the county, if you were a foreman, you got a vehicle to drive. I never wanted that job, so I never had a vehicle. I had to drive my own. But sometimes you get a computer. There's benefits to working for someone a lot of times. So have you ever started a new job and had benefits? Anybody? Yeah? I know most of us that have a long career or have a decent job have benefits. And like I said, a lot of times we take these things for granted. And today, what Paul's going to be talking about, he's going to be talking about the benefits we receive when we are justified by faith. So, but we're going to jump right in to verse 1. Paul says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so the first benefit that Paul's going to talk about is we have peace with God when we are justified by faith. He starts the passage off with the word therefore. And we've been talking about being justified by faith for the last couple of weeks. In the end of chapter 3 and all through chapter 4, we've been talking about justification. And what justification is this. Being declared right in God's eyes. We cannot be right in God's eyes on our own. And I hope after all of the stuff we've been talking about in the book of Romans that we understand that. It is only through faith that we can be justified and be right and be righteous in the eyes of God. But what do we have faith in? It says to be justified through faith, Paul says. What do we have faith in? We have faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. He actually says our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again, right? But Paul says we have peace when we have faith in Jesus. Now, what you need to understand is before faith in Christ, and I've talked about this before, we are enemies of God. That means we don't have a relationship with God. God really doesn't even listen to our prayers. We're an enemy. He considers us an enemy because of our sin. And if we skip down to Romans 5:10, Paul says this, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." So we were enemies through faith. We're now reconciled. We're now friends of God. We are saved from God's wrath. So a lot of times, like back in chapter 1, we talked about God's wrath. When we went through chapter 1 of Romans, we talked about the wrath of God. And that's not something that we like to talk about, right? We don't like to talk about the wrath of God. We want to talk about the good stuff, right? But the wrath of God is real. I mean, if you look at Romans 5, 8, 9, it says, "But God shows his love for us that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God." So we're saved by faith in Jesus, and we're saved from God's wrath. God's wrath is someday God is going to punish sin. If we haven't put our faith in Jesus, we're going to be punished, and we're going to go to a place, and most people don't like me to talk about this, but I have to tell you the truth. We're going to a place called hell if we haven't put our faith in Jesus. That is a real place. The wrath of God is real. We love to talk about the love of God and how he loves everything and how he's going to overlook stuff. But God is not going to continue to let that stuff slide. At some point, he's going to punish sin. He is a God of love. That is true. He loves people. He loves us. And he wants us to come to this relationship with him. And love is who God is. I mean, I think in 1 John it says, God is love. But that is part of who he is. That is an attribute of God. But here's the other thing. Another attribute of God is that he is holy. And he punishes sin. I don't want you to get this mixed up. He loves us, but we have to come to him in faith to be considered righteous and holy. Don't get mixed up on this. God loves us, but he's going to punish sin. Okay? I really want you to understand that. When Paul is talking here, he's talking in the present sense. What that means is he is talking to folks who have already put their faith in Jesus. So from this point on in the message, he's talking, it hinges on whether you know Jesus as Savior, whether you've put your faith in him. The rest, these things like peace with God and the other things we're going to talk about are only come through faith in Jesus, okay? And honestly, I didn't even really talk about peace and what that means. I did, but I really want to emphasize that we were enemies, and through faith, we have peace. We surrender. It's like a military thing. And there is peace because of that faith. We are surrendering to God. That is the first blessing we get from God through salvation. But in Romans 5:2, Paul continues and says, through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Through him, through Jesus, not only have we received that peace that I talked about, but we also, through faith, have access to God's grace. And Paul says, we stand in that grace. What does that mean? That means once we come to faith, we stand in God's grace. He wants us to walk with him. But if we mess up, guess what? We're still standing there. It is continuous grace. That doesn't give us the green light to do whatever we want. But the grace, the way it's worded, is forever. The word stand means to be unmovable. And the word grace means unmerited favor. I probably told you guys this before, but I always like to tell the students, it's like when you disobey your parents and you deserve to be grounded and punished, but they don't punish you, right? That's mercy. Grace is when they take you for ice cream instead, right? That's what God's doing. When he sent his son Jesus here, that's grace. He's giving us something we do not deserve. Isn't that beautiful? Access to grace is access to God. This benefit puts us, think about this. The Israelites, God's presence was in the temple behind this thick curtain called the veil. And nobody could even go into that presence except for the priest like once a year. From the death of Jesus, that curtain was ripped open. We have access to the God of the universe. What does that mean? We can say, Father, forgive me. And he's listening to us. When we have faith, we have access to him. Man, that is awesome. It makes me have chill bumps. It's God. Access to God is God giving himself to us in his graciousness. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Through him, through Jesus, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Lord himself. Amazing. Access means leading or bringing into the presence of something. It's like an invitation. Access is associated with the thought of freedom to enter through assistance or favor of another. That other is Jesus. He's the one who invited us. And it's only through him that we have access. This makes me think about we use Google. What is it? Google Docs? No, it's Google, the other Google with the Drive. I'm terrible with computer stuff. We communicate at the river through Google Drive, right? And if you're an employee there, you have access to the Google Drive. You get all the information. But if I share the Google Drive with Stephanie, she has to get an invitation. She has to ask for access. And somebody, the owner of that, has to give her access to that information. Jesus is our access. He is. We're not coming to God. We're not getting these benefits without him. It is through his strength that we have access to God, and only through that. Paul goes on and he says, we can rejoice because of this. We can rejoice because of the hope of the glory of God, is his exact words. What does he mean? He means, because you have faith, you get heaven. You get the glory of God. Someday, we get to go to heaven. That's the reason we rejoice. When I go on vacation, actually, we have one planned. We have an Airbnb rented. We've already paid for it. We have this hope that thing's going to be there and ready for us when we get there, right? We've paid the money. But that hope is not like a wishful type of hope. It is a confident hope because we've put the deposit down. It's the same thing when you buy a plane ticket. You pay for the ticket in advance. You have a confident hope that day when you're going to fly, that ticket's going to be good and you can step on the plane. That's the type of hope that Paul's talking about here. It's the same hope we have for heaven. It's not some wishful thinking, wishing that we get heaven. When we have faith in Jesus, we have a confidence that we are going there. That's a reason to rejoice. That's what Paul's talking about here. We can rejoice, and just like standing has the wording about being consistently there, Rejoice is worded that same way in this passage. We can rejoice and keep rejoicing because we're going, and we can be confident in that. It's the exact opposite of Romans 3:23 that we read a few weeks ago. That says all fall short of God's glory. We're all sinners. We all fall short of God's glory. But through faith, we can rejoice because we are going, right? I love that, how Paul switches stuff up. But we can rejoice. Paul goes on and says we can rejoice even when our world is turned upside down. Even when there's hardships going on, he says. How many of you have struggled with difficulties in life? I would say if you're not raising your hand, you're probably lying to me. But Paul says it like this. Not only that, so he's been talking about rejoicing, that we have a reason to rejoice because we're going to be in the glory of God. But he says not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, in our hardships, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The word rejoice means to brag. How do we brag in our suffering? How can we have joy in our suffering? The word suffering actually means to be under pressure. How many of you like being under pressure? How many of you like being stressed out? I hate it, right? What's the first thing we want to do? We want to get out of that situation. We want to get out from under that pressure. But a lot of times in life, you can't. You have to endure it. I've talked to a lot of you who struggle with your work. You don't like it. You want to change jobs, but look, you have to take care of your family. And maybe God has you there for a purpose. We struggle. Some of us struggle with the jobs we have. Some of us struggle that we don't have a job, right? We're unemployed. Maybe our hours are getting cut. That's a struggle. We struggle with really hard things in life. Sickness. Death. And sometimes we are even persecuted for our faith. I want to share this with you. Just because we have faith in Jesus and we've been declared righteous by God does not mean we are not going to have hardships. The Bible does not teach that. Matter of fact, Jesus says in John 6, I think it's 13:33, that we will have tribulation in life. We are going to have hardships. That's a promise. Many times in our suffering, we do the exact opposite of what Paul is teaching here. We have trouble. We have something that comes up in our life. And instead of enduring it with faith, we get anxious. We worry. And that worry leads to doubt in God. And that doubt doesn't lead to hope. It leads to despair. It does. Paul's giving us this beautiful way of getting out from under that pressure. This is a benefit from God. A Christian believer should be different. We should be different as believers. We should do this. When we suffer, we endure it. We stand. It means to stand under the pressure. That's what endure means. And when we stand under that pressure and trust God, he builds our character. He grows us. He grows us. The more we trust God in the hardships, and the more hardships we go through, the more our character is built up. Hardships, as much as we hate them, God uses them to grow us. It's like melting down a chunk of gold. Has anybody ever done that? I'm sure you haven't. If you had a block of gold and you melted it down, I hope you have. You melt it down, all the impurities from that gold will come to the top. You scoop off them impurities, and it makes the gold more pure. That's how God uses hardships. God doesn't cause the hardships, but he uses them. James 1, verses 2 through 4, James, talking about the same thing, says this: "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let your steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James is saying it in a different way. He's saying, God is going to take this hardship and he's going to make you into a person of God, a man or a woman of God. He's going to refine you. He's going to use it to take the impurities away. He's going to grow you. But I have to be real. I can stand up here and tell you, this is going to be hard for me. I can tell you to rejoice in your hardships. But it's different when you're actually going through them. Do you agree? Amen. It is different. Now, I haven't told many people this. But 2 weeks ago, my 8-year-old great niece and her dad were traveling on a 2-lane road down in North Carolina where they lived. And a drunk driver crossed the center line and hit them head on. It killed her instantly. Her dad's in critical condition, so is the drunk driver. Now, I would love to tell you that I rejoiced in that, but I didn't. I was broken. Right? I was broken. I actually asked God, why would this happen? I mean, my niece, Megan, just lost her dad, my brother, from COVID 4 years ago. And now her 8-year-old daughter is dead. I don't understand God. I don't understand why. But we can't always understand what God's doing. But God, through his word, reminded me that he doesn't force people to follow him. He doesn't force people to do what they're supposed to do. And matter of fact, if you look back at Romans 1, through our sin, he gave us up to continue in that sin. And it's no different with this drunk driver. He made poor decisions. It was not God's fault. God didn't cause this. God gave this man free will. He made poor decisions, and it cost my great niece her life. God really talked to me with that. And listen, I want you to know this morning. Paul's not saying this. Be joyful in the hardship. Don't be joyful. I wasn't joyful that Willow got killed. What Paul is saying is this: God is working in that hardship. Be joyful in what God is doing in that hardship. God is moving in these hardships, and he's doing things, and he's doing good things in these hardships. Romans 8:28 tells us the truth. And we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Look, we can have confidence that God is doing good things through hardships. He's growing us through hardships. He's making us into the men and women of God through hardships. And I'm going to be honest, I can already see God working in my family through this hardship that happened 2 weeks ago. There was some family separation, some bitterness that was resolved from this. There's unbelievers in my family, and my sister was at the funeral, and she talked to people about the truth of the Lord. God is working through this hardship. He's growing people in this hardship. Paul says, this character that God's building in us, it produces hope. And he says, this hope won't put us to shame. What that means is, you're not going to be disappointed in the hope that God gives you. You're not going to be disappointed. We still are going to get heaven. And guess what? My great niece is going to be there, right? She's going to be there. That hope is not going away. He's not going to disappoint us. Because our hope is not built on something that we wish for. It's built on something solid, and that is the promises of God and the promises of his glory someday. One pastor says it this way. I love this. He said, you can take a pot of boiling water and you can put an egg in it and you can put a potato in it. One of them is going to get hard, the egg, and one of them is going to get soft. It depends on what's on the inside. That's right. You get that? That's us. If we have Jesus and we have this hope, God's going to grow us through it. He's going to break us and soften us. And here's the cool thing. We have something inside of us. His name is the Holy Spirit. If we have God, if we have faith in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's what Paul says next. He says, God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit as believers. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee that we are going to get heaven someday. Actually, in Romans 8:9, it says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If we have the Spirit, we are sealed. We are his, and we're getting God's glory someday. But he is more than a guarantee. He is our hope. The Holy Spirit is our hope. John 14:16, Jesus says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Jesus was leaving, and he sent the Holy Spirit to take his place. And here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of each and every believer. He's with us all the time. Jesus couldn't be that way in human form. So it's better with the Holy Spirit, actually, than it was when Jesus was here, because we have the Spirit with us all the time. The word helper means to come alongside. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and he'll be with us. He'll be with us in our hardships. He'll be with us no matter what we're going through. He takes up permanent residence in our hearts. He's our comforter. He's our encourager. He's our advocate between the Father us and the Father. He's our advocate, and he convicts us of sin. We have a supernatural power, the supernatural power of God living inside of us. We can endure hardships. As a believer, just like in our jobs, we have benefits. I didn't really hit on them really good, but I want to repeat what we talked about. Through faith, we're no longer enemies of God. We are friends of him, and we have access to him. We have hope because someday we're going to be in the glory of God, and we can have that hope even in hardships. And we have the love of God inside of us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. I love the Lord. He loves us. And when we put our faith in him, wow. In our jobs, we take our benefits for granted sometimes. Sometimes we might even not know we have them. And I think we can do the same as Christians now. I think we really need to look at these things. What is God doing? Sometimes we think he's far away, but we have all these benefits to prove that he's there. And we don't receive these benefits like at work. We don't receive them until we're hired. And we don't receive these benefits from God until we have faith in Jesus, until we've been justified by faith. My question to you today is this: are you justified by faith? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? You believe he died on the cross. You believe he rose from the dead. You believe he's in heaven right now. Is he the Lord of your life? This morning, if you're struggling with anything, do you need prayer, please come and see one of us. If you know the Lord, please come and talk to me if you want to have a conversation about that.